Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1553, air date May 9th, 2025.
Today is Save the U.S. Postal Service, Defend the First Amendment. And this is part of our town hall. Okay, Suresh, if you can go to video with this. So welcome, everyone. We have our town hall. You can see we do these every Thursdays. You can see Suresh is putting it on the banner at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. The advantage of coming to the town hall is you get to interact, meet other people, ask questions, but more importantly, get off your butt and get connected to deliver the solutions we're doing. But we do these town halls every Thursday at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. It's our open house for the movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. Truth, Freedom, Health is a movement that emerged out of my activist work, out of the electoral work, out of being the force. Our movement was a force in 2020, which was the first to call out the lockdowns, which was the force that ran the Fire Fauci campaign, which was a force that exposed the true issues with election integrity, which was later hijacked by all these grifters you see out there. And they actively suppress our movement. But it doesn't matter. Our movement is offline, and we get on the ground, we get the message out there. So if you're tired of all these grifters, if you're tired of these CIA Mossad agents like Tucker Carlson, if you're tired of people who never tell the truth at the right time, and you want to actually do something about it versus just talk and be on your phone, then you've come to the right place. So the talk today, as I said, is going to be about one of our big educational mobilization efforts to defend the Postal Service. It's been something I've been involved with since 1997. So today I'm going to share with you the history of what is the Postal Service really about. People say, oh, the Postal Service, oh, there's a bunch of people who deliver letters. Oh, they suck because Elon Musk said so. Oh, they don't work hard because why? Because Trump wants to privatize them. You're going to hear the truth about the Postal Service. And you're going to see why our movement educates people on the true nature of an institution that was created by the founding fathers of the United States to defend the First Amendment. Before I go into that talk, I want to level set for everyone what our movement's about. Our movement is a force. It is a force that teaches people how to think critically. We empower people with system thinking. We empower people with system thinking. Suresh, if you can just bring up the site, Truth, Freedom, Health. And we empower people with system thinking so you can transform everything inside and outside of you. That's what we do. Think about that. We are empowering you to get off the plantation to be a force for absolute change, individually and collectively with other people. Suresh, can you share the website, please? Can someone? You want to share it on Zoom, Suresh, so it goes everywhere, okay? So if you go to truthfreedomhealth.com, we give you the opportunity to dip your toe and get involved in this movement. And this movement, as you can see, invites you to join. You can support us. We have on the right side, we're going to go through, we have all these different solutions. Every Thursdays, we have our open house. Twice a Friday, we teach people health education. Once a month, we do a symposium on a scientific topic. We do our own original scientific research with our Open Science Institute. And then we have System Self, where we teach health education. If you're part of the movement, you get all of that knowledge at no cost. And as you scroll down, you'll see our slogan at Truth, Freedom, Health is to get educated or be enslaved. Our movement is what taught nearly a billion people about the immune system during COVID. We saved hundreds of millions of people's lives. No one has that kind of resume. We have that. We have the resume of the fact that we have actual solutions which affects millions of people's lives every day on the ground. So let me talk about what those solutions are. This graphic here, which we just completed, because our warrior scholars, Suresh, if you can bring up that graphic, actually get on the ground and we mobilize people. So we actually have real solutions. And you notice it says by the people for the people. So the problem with when you have solutions is all those people who talk, now you got them in a corner because they can't just talk shit anymore. They actually have to go do something. All right? So the people who are involved in our movement actually roll up their sleeves and they actually do stuff. But if you just want to talk and you want to follow Tucker Carlson or talk about what Joe Rogan said or talk, this is not the movement for you because you too are a grifter. And we don't really want to waste our time with you. But if you actually want to change the world beyond just talking, then we give you a disciplined framework so you don't have excuses anymore. Number one, go to truthfromhealth.com. Watch Shatter the Swarm video. Understand the dynamics of control systems, how they work. The scientific dynamics, which I put into a 15-minute video. Sign up and get on the path to empowering yourself, learning system thinking, okay? But those people in our movement recognize that we actually have solutions. And guess what? Our solutions are not waiting for these Zionist cocksuckers, be it Booby fucking Kennedy or Trump or all of these people, because they're all part of the swarm. Anything that they do that appears that they're doing something is pure appearance. Because while they're doing something with this hand, they're fucking you with this hand, okay? And that's why Trump was put into power, to do the master, you know, bait and switch. But we actually have real solutions that have been around for nearly some of the multiple decades, that we actually enable you to be the deliverer of the solutions. You see, not only we're giving you a fishing pole, we're giving you a nuclear reactor so you can be the force for change. Because a movement cannot be built by one individual. Yes, someone like me, I was fortunate to get all this education, can empower you, but ultimately you have to do the work. So what do we have? Look at all these solutions we have. And remember, we are delivering these solutions independent of big government, independent of big businesses, independent of big universities, independent of big pharma. All of those four groups are all corrupt. And anything coming from there is always going to be corrupt. So we have to go bottoms up. So we have the Systems Health Education Solution. You go to systemshealth.com and you can explore that. Okay. Suresh, if you can just bring up the websites as I announce these solutions, it'd be valuable for people. So what is Systems Health? It is an institution and it is made up of everyday people. Suresh, if you can just scroll down as I'm talking. The solution is made up of everyday people who are learning how to take advantage of this explosive need for health education. The swarm's health education model is, oh, eat some vegetables, right? Wash your hands, you know, wear a condom, don't get STDs, get vaccinated, right? Wear a mask. And they have $40,000, $50,000 courses where you can go do that, and then you go work in a hospital. That's what they call health education. On top of that, you have all these idiotic social media people putting out billions of videos, eat this, don't eat this. What we teach at Systems Health is for you to get empowered, to look at all this information, what you should put on you, inside of you, and help you figure out what's right for you. It's a very powerful systems framework. And we have created that educational platform so you can use it for yourself. Suresh, go back up. There's an apprenticeship program. There's three right there. Right there. Suresh, come down. Or you can use it to become a health educator, create your own sustainable business, and explosively become the shaman in your town, in your village, in your city, and help people, okay? So that's Systems Health. Go back to the slide. So again, we are educating you using a systems thinking approach on how to figure out what's right for you. Because all these social media people, they don't want you to figure that out. They just want to throw you, do this, do that, and then you're doing this or you're doing that. But you don't have the empowered framework, the wisdom to figure out what's right for you or others. So that's Systems Health. And we give, again, a $24,000 scholarship to people who want to become warrior scholars. The second thing is our warrior scholars are on the ground helping restaurant owners, helping manufacturers, helping people create clean products. And that's clean food. This is a certification that recognizes that you need to create conscious, living, ethical, active food and products. Processes and ingredients that are real, alive, and whole. Who created this certification? We did. We, the people, bottoms up. The government doesn't own it. It's not the USDA, quote unquote, organic. This is our certification. Thousands of products have been certified. 20, 30, 40 million people have been touched by these products. And guess what? We own it. So we can go figure out and put that certification in a non-corrupt way of what is actually clean food. All right. So you guys can be involved in deploying this, a solution. We're not waiting for Booby fucking Kennedy to remove quote unquote red dye over here and then promote people who are for the mRNA jab over here, right? It's all fucking theater. This is real. Go back, Suresh, back to the solution. The third solution we have is we as a movement. When you support us, you're helping fund new medicines without animal testing. With the partnership with the International Center for Integrative Systems, the Open Science Institute, powered by the CytoSolve technology that I created nearly 20 years ago, we're going after every major disease. Go to the Open Science Institute, Suresh. And if you go to that institute, look at all the diseases that we have been quietly working at: osteoarthritis, ALS, AML, periodontitis, asthma, acute lung injury, pulmonary fibrosis, bowel health, gut-brain health, pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer, stem cells. We have a major paper that was just accepted into Oxford University Press. Alzheimer's disease, lupus, NMO, neuromyelitis optica, men's health, women's health, pet skin health, organ transplant, hereditary angioedema, viral infections, metabolic health, cardiovascular disease, liver detoxification, neurodegenerative diseases, and aging. Guess what? We have no fucking big pharma involved, no fucking academic institutions. We are doing this on our own. Because of the CytoSolve platform, because of the Open Science Institute, our movement, independent of all these guys, is going and solving these problems because we can do it faster, cheaper, better, and safer. We do our own research, we create our own medicines, and our movement will deploy out to the inner cities to people directly. Thanks, Suresh. Go back. So, all of you out there, stop begging to fucking Trump. Stop begging to the swarm. That's an abusive relationship. This is a movement by the people, for the people. Everyone on our call, everyone in our leadership program either worked for a living or, you know, retired and they support our movement, or work for a living. We do not have people in our leadership, in our movement, who live in their mother's basements. We got rid of those people. We told them, go get a fucking job. Stop being a parasite on your parents. So we have boundaries. We have a discipline framework. And you can all be part of delivering that solution. So today, one of the solutions, Suresh, if you bring that up, is to talk about the fact that we need to mobilize working people. And for nearly 30 years, I've been talking about the power of the U.S. Postal Service as the inventor of email and why it must be defended. And we have a number of Postal Service workers on the call today. Many Postal Service workers don't even know the history of the Postal Service. They don't even know the fact that they are actually the front bulwark to defend the First Amendment. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And you may want to take some notes. And you will understand why Elon Musk, that fucking scumbag, who is not for free speech, if anything, he too is a Zionist cocksucker like Trump. They still have the backdoor portal into Twitter, into all social media companies, fully alive. And you can see by the fact that I used to get 10 million views per day. And after I started critiquing Musk, it went down to about 10,000 views. But it doesn't matter. Because we have our bottoms up force offline, we still get the word out, and fuck them. But this is why the Postal Service is important. Let's go to video stories. Let me talk about what is the Postal Service. And you really need to understand this. The Postal Service was created in one of the most revolutionary phases in world history, when people recognized that there were certain inalienable rights that humans had. And they didn't just talk about it and grift on it. These founders of the United States, in 1787, created an institution, and it was called the United States Postal Service. Now, why did they create this institution? And this institution was not owned by the government. It was actually a very quasi-government public organization. And the concept was that if you had the First Amendment, the right to free speech, the right to assemble, right, that how do you make that real? You can just talk about, oh, we right to free speech. Well, how the fuck do you make that real? The way you make that real is you need infrastructure to enable free speech to take place. So that infrastructure that they created was a United States Postal Service. Now, prior to the revolution, the crown, the monarchy, the monarchs had their postal service. It was a crown's postal service. Believe it or not, Benjamin Franklin was the postmaster general of the British postal crown's postal service. And the crown knew there was an emerging revolution coming up. And what they did was, I'm not sure what someone's texting me something here. All right. Hey, Suresh, I think, is the video coming in two? There's two videos showing up. Is it showing up like this? I think, is this what Valerie was trying to say, like that? I don't know if you see that. I may just want to check that. Okay. Like two windows. Okay. So the Crown created, all right, this postal service, but it was highly censored. They surveilled it. Every letter that was sent among the colonists was opened and was read. Got it? So the monarchs, the monarchy, had their infrastructure for traversing letters, but they made sure that there was really no free speech, there was no privacy. So when they knew Franklin was involved in the revolution, they threw him out as Postmaster General of the Crown Service, okay? But in 1787, the United States Postal Service was created. Now, this is what they did, which was very different than the monarchs. When they created the Postal Service, which was the institution that would be the ability for any citizen to send a letter to anyone else for pennies. That was really the bulwark of free speech. That means I could send a letter to Delia for pennies, and he could be in all the way in upstate Washington, and I could be in, you know, a peninsula in Florida, and it would make it there. Quite extraordinary. It's really pretty amazing. And if you read about the Postal Service, they sometimes put letters in rockets and they put them over rivers. They had all these ways to do transport, right? Ponies, barges, everything. But they would get a letter, neither sleet nor snow or rain. You've heard the poem, right? So, and every small town, small village had at least one or multiple these postal centers. But the goal was that institution enabled people to transact mail. Political mail, up until 1970, nearly 70% of the mail flowing through this infrastructure was political mail. Left wing, right wing, Green Party, Nazi mail, Ku Klux Klan, you know, communists, everyone transacted freely. One key element of the Postal Service, which 99% of Americans do not know existed, was a police force. So here's the Postal Service, run by the Postmaster General. Over here was the Inspector General's office, which oversaw the Postal Service to see if they were doing fucked up things like opening the mail. If they did, 22-year sentence in prison, okay? So not only did you have the system, but you had an oversight body which served we the people. In 2010, I organized a conference on the future of the Postal Service at MIT. And I invited Dave Williams, who was the Inspector General. And I'll talk more about this. So the Postal Service is an institution that was created to defend the First Amendment. All you Postal Service workers, you better explain this to all people. And the flyer that we put together will help you get this out there. Everyone here, you can download that flyer, hand it out at Postal Service centers. The postal workers must understand who they actually are. They're the front line of the First Amendment. So the Postal Service system was created so you could send mail for pennies. It's pretty incredible. It's really cheap. All right. And it was not fully part of the government. It was a very interesting quasi-government institution where we, the people, still had oversight over through the IG's office, Inspector General's office. All right. Obviously, the swarm didn't like this. All right. They don't like anything that really came out of revolution. So if you look since 1787, culminating in 1970, the establishment has gone after any type of real powerful institutions that came out of the American Revolution. The U.S. patent system is under attack by scumbags like Elon Musk and Jack Dorsey and all these guys. The postal system. But we're going to focus on the postal system. I'll probably do a whole talk on the U.S. patent system. But nonetheless, in 1978, I was, as a 14-year-old, I took the office postal system. Some of you may know in every office, there was ways that you delivered mail. Every office had a little, post office, if you worked in a hospital, if you worked in a big institution, and they had ways of delivering mail. They had the inbox, the outbox, the folders, the address book. They had pneumatic tubes. They had carbon copy, blind carbon copy. I was the first in the world to convert that entire system to the electronic version as a 14-year-old intern working at a small medical college, what is now known as Rutgers Medical School. I wrote 50,000 lines of code, named it email, and got the first United States copyright at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I am the inventor of email, regardless of what Wikipedia and the military industrial complex attempt to pilfer the rightful credit to me. The fact remains, a 14-year-old kid in Newark, New Jersey invented email. It's all out there, okay? All of this came out when it went into the Smithsonian in 2012. It created a big, quote unquote, a fake controversy. But nonetheless, as someone who created the electronic version of the mail system, all those features, I know the value of the postal system. It is a very powerful system. So my first life with the world of mail in the electronic version was creating email. That was in 1978. In 1993, through a series of separate incidents, I was asked to, I won a contest when for the that the White House put forward to automatically analyze email to automatically help customer service for the White House. White House, when remember, up until 1993, very important to understand this, email was not a consumer application. Only organizations used email, which was a electronic version of their inner office mail system. But in 1993, something important took place. The World Wide Web came, which put a mouse so you could point and click on the internet. It was a revolution. It was on the front page of the website, if you remember, when HTTP and HTML came out. So after that, people copied my email program, all the design aspects, and they created the web-based version of that. Companies like Hotmail, companies like AOL, Eudora started doing that. And so email went from being a business application to becoming something that was offered to consumers. In 1993, if you had a room of 1,000 people, and I was doing seminars on this, and you asked how many people have an email address, 2 out of maybe 1,000 people would have one, 0.2%. After 1993, you know, by early 2000, you know, 50% of people had email addresses, okay? So in 1997, something quite extraordinary took place. Email volume exceeded postal mail volume. It was a very important point. Postal mail volume was exceeded by email. So people who were sending letters, greeting cards, you know, contracts and all the stuff through physical mail moved it to email. Email became the bulwark of business and consumer transactions, okay? Electronic mail transactions. Quite extraordinary. In 1997, I had built this company. After I won the White House contest, I spun off a company who was really probably the first AI companies in the world to automatically read an email, figure out the response, and send it out. We used to lower customer service costs. I had Nike as a customer, American Express, Citigroup, all these large companies use EchoMail to lower their customer service costs. And if you go to EchoMail.com, you can read about that. So anyway, that company I grew to around $250 million company. And what was great about EchoMail was that we had a range of customers. So we learned a lot about all these different ways people use email. But the important thing was in 1997, I saw email volume exceeding postal mail volume. This is why people wanted our technology, because we would help lower the cost of customer services. People were getting deluge of emails. There's a front page article in the Wall Street Journal about the work we did, or technology review. It was a revolutionary technology. So in 1997, when I saw this, because of my interest in freedom and as an activist, I contacted the Postal Service and I said, look, you guys are in a dangerous situation. You must create a public version, like you have the postal physical paper system, you must create an electronic equivalent. Why? Remember, the Postal Service, with the laws of Congress, has the inspector, the postmaster general for the whole service, but they also have the IG's office, which makes sure that if any postal service worker opens a letter, 22-year sentence in prison. It's quite powerful. I said, right now, look what's happening. 1997, citizens were moving their mail communications, which were protected by this police force, to private companies, Hotmail, AOL. And when, and remember, those were free email accounts. And they were not reading those free, when they signed up for the terms and conditions, which says those companies own your email. They can open your letters. They can open your email. They can open your contracts. They can open your love letters. They can do whatever the fuck they want with it. I said, this is dangerous. The reason the founders created this very powerful institution was they didn't want monarchs opening their email. And now you have oligarchs, Microsoft, other companies now having the right to open your letter. You guys get what I'm saying? Monarchs opened our communications. Now oligarchs can open our communications. I saw this so clearly as the inventor of email, because I knew where email is merely the electronic version of this postal thing. It's not like anything different. So I met with senior executives at the Postal Service. I said, look, to save the Constitution, you must create a public version of email. Offer it, probably offer it for $20 a year. You can make money off of it. You'll never have to be worrying about getting funding from Congress. You can be sustainable. People pay it. But the email you offer will be protected by the laws of Congress, by the same inspector general. So I was 29 years old, and these guys looked at me, oh, who are you? What do you know? You're a 29-year-old kid. And I've shared this many times. You know, we have 500,000 workers. We're bigger than Walmart. Basically, get the fuck out of our office, okay? So these idiots were not innovators like Franklin. They had become bureaucrats. They had no idea what the fuck I was talking about because they didn't care. They're just there collecting their paychecks, thinking they're running an institution that transmits these paper around. They had no idea that institution was set up to protect the fucking First Amendment. I'm probably the only one who made this connection, because the amount of attack that the swarm does against Postal Service workers, they make them, oh, they're lazy, they're idiots, all the postal. They have no idea how powerful the Postal Service is. Amazon takes advantage of the United States Postal Service. Amazon's prices would not be that low. Amazon reaps billions of dollars of profit using this public infrastructure. All right. So these guys thought I was dumb, stupid, that we're in the physical mail business, but they're these retards, which is probably a politically incorrect term, but that's what they are, had no idea they're in the communications business to defend the First Amendment. You guys see what I'm saying? That's actually the business they're in. And so if a new medium comes, you must put it still within that rubric to still protect citizens. That's what Franklin did. That's what the founders did. So that was 1997. And if you look what's happened since 1997 to what we discovered in our historic lawsuit on winbackfreedom.com, we discovered that private companies not only can open letters, but private companies have created an unholy alliance with government that they will surveil people on every message you post, who's posting it, and give that information back to government. So there is no fucking First Amendment anymore. And it was done because the fucking Postal Service didn't do their fucking job. There is no public infrastructure to protect we the people. There is none. And the Postal Service workers, with everyday brainwashing, they think, oh, I just deliver mail. And, you know, everyone says I suck and, you know, I'm making too much money. So they've been inundated. It's not their fault. It's the massive propaganda. And since in recent times, since 1997 now, the swarm wants to privatize the Postal Service. Okay. And the first step in doing this was Ronald Reagan in 1980. Ronald Reagan, because of all the donors that he got, gutted the most profitable parts of the Postal Service, which is really overnight mail, and he gave it to his friends at FedEx and DHL. The Postal Service was quite profitable, but so they privatized pieces by FedEx and DHL starting to deliver, overnight mail. So that was the beginning. In recent times, Donald fucking Trump and Steve Mnuchin, the Zionist cocksucker who ran the Department of Commerce and Treasury, they have wanted to bring the Postal Service under the Department of Commerce. Why? Why do you think? Because once it comes, it's no longer quasi-public. They can control it. They can. The government can also start opening up physical mail. They already watch all of our communications because Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and all these guys are dependent on the government. So they have given backdoor portals, which is what our lawsuit exposed when I was thrown off Twitter in courtroom testimony. I was the one who discovered that the government has an unholy backdoor portal. And we exposed that in October of 2020, which Tucker Carlson, Glenn Greenwald all intentionally concealed. They waited until 2 years later, the so-called Twitter files, which was nothing but the tip of the iceberg of what I discovered, which they intentionally concealed. But the bottom line is that the First Amendment has been destroyed. And the last vestiges of the First Amendment exist when you send a physical letter. They don't exist online. There is no First Amendment because the government, the oligarchs, can open up at will any communication you have. Sounds a lot like the monarchs, right? Doesn't it? How is this different? Where is the Inspector General to protect us on social media platforms? Doesn't exist. And our movement, the insights that I'm giving you, are the only ones to really articulate this with precision. And this is why the Postal Service must be saved. It must be defended. And our movement, Truth, Freedom, and Health, is going to do now a campaign on the ground, as Suresh is bringing up this flyer. I believe July 26, 1787 is when the Postal Service was established. So we're going to do mass action on the ground. We're going to ask all of our warrior scholars to get on the ground, wherever you are. We're going to do a live Zoom and tell people, get on the ground, go to your local Postal Service, educate your Postal Service. And this is a warning why we must save it. Everything I've talked about is in this flyer. And you can get people to get this flyer. We need to help the Postal Service workers get mobilized. Their unions have sold them out. Maybe they'll support us. They're run by the Democrat scumbags who have essentially always sold out the workers. Our movement is going to mobilize one of the biggest workforces on the planet because the Postal Service and the infrastructure they have is the future of free speech. And if Donald fucking Trump, you're listening right now, when I had that 2-hour meeting with you, you said, oh, you're the smartest guy in the room. You're amazing. You're MIT. I love MIT. What can I do for you? And I didn't want anything from you, Mr. Trump or President Trump, but I do want something from you. Why don't you make me the Postmaster General? Why don't you make me the chairman of the Postal Service? And I will deliver real free speech back to the American people. We will take the entire Postal Service infrastructure and convert it to mesh networks. It will have its own independent network by the people for the people. And we will make sure that social media platforms by the people for the people and email are within that purview. Independent of Facebook, independent of all the social media companies, independent of your fuck friend, Elon Musk. All right, Trump, what about that? Why don't you do something for me and the American people after all the shit you stole from me and you made a half a fucking billion dollars off my work? You asked me what I wanted, do that. I dare you. I fucking dare you. Because the Postal Service is the last front-facing bulwark of free speech. And I, the inventor of email, have the solution to make sure free speech is restored in the United States. And it is through independent mesh network by the people for the people. And all these platforms must be run by the Postal Service. And by the way, right now, I know you fucked over Dave Williams. You railed him, you and Mnuchin, to put this under the Department of Commerce because you want to start opening up all the letters for your Zionist cocksucking friends. And to all the American people listening, we live in dangerous fucking times. We've moved from monarchs to oligarchs. And by the way, Bernie fucking Sanders and AOC ain't going to help you fight oligarchs because they're part of the oligarchy. The only force that's going to help us fight the oligarchy and seize the means of production, seize the means of communication is the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. We delivered on the Fire Fauci campaign. We delivered on saving hundreds of millions of people's lives during COVID. We delivered on exposing election fraud. And it is our movement that is the only force that is going to win back free speech. And to all people across the globe, understand that this is not only in the United States. Most postal services all over the world are the front face of what could be true free speech. Bring back videos, Suresh. So where are you going to get this kind of insight? Elon fucking Musk? The guy can barely say a word without sounding like a fucking retard. He has never created anything. $7 billion SpaceX was given to him. Tesla, he didn't create. He fought with the founders, changed the founding documents and put his name on it. Twitter, he didn't found that. The guy hasn't created anything. What he has created is an image of a fake inventor. And that's what the establishment loves. They do not want one of us coming from below. The Postal Service is a bulwark of the First Amendment. It must be defended. And if you look at my journey in 1997, I exposed this. They didn't do shit. Well, in 2011, you'll find a Fast Company article or New York Times front page article saying, oh, the Postal Service is going out of business. They're bankrupt. I did a series of videos and talks, including in Time Magazine, that went viral. I said, you fucking idiots. There's no reason you guys should not have enough money. Offer digital services. Dave Williams, the inspector general, called me and said, why are you attacking the Postal Service? Because he's supposed to watch out the Postal Service for us. He then commissioned me to write two reports. Postal Service paid me close to 100 grand, not small money. And I gave them actual solutions, and they're up on the Integrative Systems website. But the Postmaster General did nothing. So they want the Postal Service to go bankrupt so they can say, see, they suck, so they can put it under the Department of Commerce and start opening up our letters without any oversight or independence. That's what's going on. And I know we have some Postal Service workers on the call. You guys need to get your shit together and help get organized. But the movement, our movement will support you. Our movement is here to educate that 640,000 workforce to get organized. And the Postal Service workers must seize the means of communication. It's got to be bottoms up. Because a union is a bunch of fucking sellouts. They ain't going to do shit. In fact, the Postal Service union struck a deal with Congress, so Postal Service workers can't even strike. Think about that. How fucked up is that? It's one of the fundamental rights of working people to be able to strike. So, in closing, our movement for truth, freedom, and health has a real solution for free speech. It ain't going to come from Elon fucking Musk. It ain't going to come from fucker Carlson, who never told the truth at the right time. It's going to come from us, and our resume proves it. So I hope this helps all of you understand, what is the Postal Service? When you look at postal workers, have some respect for them. These guys work their butt off, and they are the offline last vestiges of the First Amendment. And our movement is going to defend the Postal Service and has solutions to take it to another level. Again, Donald Trump, I'm giving you an offer. Make me Postmaster General. Or make me chairman of the U.S. Postal Service, and I will restore free speech for the American people. Thank you, everyone. We'll take questions, Suresh. Keep it going live. We'll take questions on this from here, or Suresh, you can see if anyone has questions there. Focus it on this topic. Don't talk about aliens and shit. Don't talk about something else. Let's focus it on here. Questions about this? And if you're listening and you see comments on social media, people asking questions, please put them here. Don't text me here. Put them on here because I'm doing a talk and it's frankly distracting when you text me on my phone. Any questions? Can you put the question in the chat, Joanne? And then I'll ask you if you can put it in the chat. It helps me review it. And then I'll come to you for clarification. So there's a chat below. Suresh, if there's any chat messages on social media, if anyone else sees questions on social media, you can copy them and put them on the chat. So here's an idiot on social media saying it's an overbloated bureaucracy that needs complete dismantling and reform or elimination. No better than any bloated crony state DMV. So this guy obviously is bought into nonsense and he doesn't understand the core of what we're saying. Okay. So you see, this is what the establishment does. They do enough propaganda to diminish the real nature of what this organization was set up for. So people like this hopefully review this and study it. Someone else says, love this. Someone says, you may not like him, but listen to the protection of our rights via the Postal Service at risk. That's what this guy says. Okay? We're not here to be liked, okay? If I wanted to be liked, I'd be working for Trump right now and a bunch of other people. Any other questions? So please put your questions in the chat. There's a little chat. You can click on it. And it may go to you, Suresh, or someone else. If you guys get it, send it over to me. So Britt Lindgren on California to you said, the Canadian Postal Service recently was on strike for a few months before Christmas. Is there a difference between the system in Canada and the system in the United States? Yeah, so I don't know, Britt, the origins of the Canadian Postal Service, but given its proximity to the United States and historical thing, I would venture to say that the Canadian Postal Service probably has similar features. But nonetheless, think about it this way. When I talk about my solution of mesh networks, I went through that very quickly. What I mean by this is there is technology where you can put up an antenna on your house and everyone can through what's called WiMAX technology. And we can literally create our own mesh network, independent of AT&T, independent of Verizon, independent of all these people. The Postal Service centers could be the point of these antennas, creating a mesh network independent of all the big providers. And that network would be our network, free. And communication between that network would be protected by those same laws that no one could interfere with that. This is sort of the, you know, the breakthrough of the solution that I'm proposing. And through that network, we could transact. Servers would be at each of these locations. And through that network, we would transact our mail, our social media, independent of Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. That would be a true people's network, not owned by a private company, but owned by we the people. Joanne said, was the Postmaster General once a cabinet post? I'm not sure, Joanne. I'm not sure about that. I believe it is independent. It may have been. But one of the things that was set up in some ways, as I said, as a quasi-independent organization. Someone can look that up. From YouTube, Grayon says, make Shiva Postmaster General. I like that idea. Sure. If we want real free speech, make me Postmaster General, Trump. Susie Abbott says, if the postal workers cannot strike, what is their leverage? Exactly. Nicholas, good question. This is why the Postal Service workers must defy and understand that agreeing to that is absolute nonsense, a violation of their First Amendment rights, the freedom of expression, you see? So whoever struck that deal really screwed over the Postal Service workers. I would say the Postal Service workers must file a lawsuit against the U.S. government and against the Postal Service administration itself for not allowing them to strike. So there's a very important lawsuit there. Can we as TWH do that at our house, independent even from the post? Yes. So we could, as a people, create a WiMAX network. The problem is, Emily, it would not be protected. You see? We need, ultimately, policy can protect us. You see? And they have the infrastructure. It's still our money, Emily. We've already given money to the Postal Service. It's a carve-out. And my model would allow the Postal Service to be sustainable, make profit and money, and not have to be privatized. Yes, we could all put antennas up, but think about the effort we'd have to do. The infrastructure already exists. This is why some people say, let's do it on our own. Let's go off-grid. Well, My point is this infrastructure that's there is our infrastructure. We, the people, created it. We work there. Postal Service workers should seize it. That may sound revolutionary, but that's what needs to happen. Just like Amazon workers ultimately must seize the means of production of Amazon. That's where ultimately a real revolution is going to occur, when working people rise up, and you don't need to have any bloody violent revolution. People just say, fuck you. We're the ones who created this infrastructure. It's ours. And we're going to get costs lower. We're going to have more security and deliver better services. So Joanne says, Postmaster General was a cabinet post before 1971. Yeah. So 1970 is when consolidation of power took place in many, many realms. In science, in healthcare, in communications, where the elites did not want us, we the people, actually having freedom. So 1970 is when the Department of Education gets created. So a lot of shit took place in 1970, including eliminating the Postmaster General from the cabinet. It makes a lot of sense. Jessica Coker says, I'm sure you've spoken Mark Diamondstein of AP. I have his phone number. Okay, send him to me. Most important thing, Jessica and everyone, we're not waiting for these top union leaders to do anything. We need to start handing out that flyer and starting to mobilize Postal Service workers and educating them. They need to take this fight on. Our movement will support them and empower them. Any other stuff you guys are seeing on social? Any comments? People asking any questions? It's interesting, right? We get more views on our own private medium than we do on social media now, even though I have close to 1 million followers. Think about the fucking shadow banning that Elon Musk and fucking Trump do. They're so fucking, such fucking pussies. Okay. The USPS does surveillance your email through an email service where it scans you an image of every piece of mail. Yeah, but that, so Joanne, that's a longer discussion. They're not allowed to open the mail. That's a service that you sign up for if you want it. It's not something that's done by choice. Do you think postcards are a powerful tool to fight? Yeah, Mike. By the way, Mike is a former U.S. Postal Service worker. Definitely. But ultimately, Mike, the real powerful way is Postal Service workers across the United States need to become aware of this and be ready to seize the means of communication on behalf of the people. They need to say, holy shit, I'm the bulwark of the First Amendment. I should have the right to strike, and I'm going to fight on behalf of the American people. It's the First Amendment, and the Postal Service are one and the same. And this is why the elites, you know, Elon fucking Musk said, we must privatize the Postal Service. Trump wants to privatize it. This is it, guys. That's the last vestige of free speech left. Okay. It's 10:33. We've been here for about 2.5 hours. What I want to encourage everyone to out there listening, you can go to the Truth Freedom Health site, support our movement, know that it is our movement. Suresh, go back to our solutions that has created Truth Freedom Health, where you can learn how to think critically so you can empower yourself with systems thinking. Number one, we have the Systems Health Education Program. We have the Clean Food Certification. And we are creating new medicines, all bottoms up. So as I started in the beginning, and we have a solution for defending the First Amendment, which is mobilizing the Postal Service workers bottoms up. So you got a lot of stuff you guys can do, and you can yap all day on social media, or you can jump in and get involved. Noel G says, my dad worked for the Postal Service. He lost a finger on the job. They worked him hard. Yep, Postal Service workers worked their butt off. So we have solutions. So number one, go to Truth Freedom Health. Contribute. You can just give money. Some people don't want to take the course. Great. We'll take your fucking money and we'll use it to build our movement. Some people want to support one of these solutions. Do it. Okay. Our warriors and our leaders here have learned how to file lawsuits. We file lawsuits. We're creating new medicines. We're getting people certified clean. We're delivering health on the ground. That's where all this is about. So if you want to sit on the sidelines and contribute money, great, we'll take it. If you want to do that and learn, great. But get involved. You have no fucking excuse anymore. Sorry. You can't just yap. You can't just ask random fucking questions about flat earth and shit. You got to do some work. Get involved. So Joanne says, my dad, Augustine, worked for the Postal Service, always complained about management. So anyway, let's mobilize Postal Service workers. They're sort of the tip of the spear of the working class in the United States, and support them. Thank you, Suresh, for helping us. If there's no other questions, I want to say the homework for you guys. Those of you who are new, go to Shatter the Swarm. You know, get involved in the movement, become a warrior scholar. It's very simple. Number two, you can get involved in any one of these solution areas. You can contribute to getting other people clean certified, becoming a systems health educator yourself. Can someone put up the links, please, for systems health tutorial? Come on, Nicholas. Put up the links for clean food where they can find it. Oscar Leon says, I am a postal carrier. Thank you, Dr. Shiva, and all those that created the Real Solutions flyer and the postal flyer. I'll definitely be handing them out to the public. There you go. We have actual, Oscar is a postal service worker in California. He helped us get on the ballot there. He actually just became a systems health educator. We have a U.S. Postal Service worker who wants to deliver not only mail, but deliver health. He works his butt off and is taking the course, okay? So cleanfoodcertified.org. Thank you, Delio's up there. We have a tutorial for systems health out there. Join it. We are empowering you to deliver solutions independent of government, independent of big pharma, independent of big corporations. And these aren't just some little tiddly solutions. These are 23rd century solutions. Systems Health, Cytosol, Open Science Institute, Clean Food. The government doesn't even have it, okay? Booby fucking Kennedy's never going to get to this. We already have it. We've leapfrogged them. We've leapfrogged them. We're 200 years ahead of them. Let's get our solutions out there. All right, everyone. Thank you very much. If you guys can play the, I don't know which video, one of the videos you want to play. And then play the solutions video. Wish everyone a good night, but we're heading into exciting times. We are offline. We are off the plantation, and it's up to us. Each one of you can have the capacity to unleash these and be a very powerful human being, a powerful agent of change. So when you go to bed tonight, meditate, visualize yourself as that being of light, delivering light into the world. We've created these solutions. We have a whole team now learning how to talk value to our existing warrior scholars. Marianne Barry's here, okay? We are learning how to communicate the value of our movement to others. It's difficult. You got to make it precise. You got to make it articulate, but you all can be part of this. Unplug from the swarm and shatter them. All right. Jessica, email that to me because this text will go away. Thanks, everyone. Be well. Thank you to all of you. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Be well. Thank you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.